is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel, and we are here on the final night of the 2018-2019 NBA season, and it is currently 11:30, and so we do not have the Western Conference results for tonight's game, so we are not going to touch on the Western Conference tonight, but we're going to instead focus on the Eastern Conference and also discuss the Magic Johnson situation. So Jason, just kind of lay out for us your take on Magic and the resignation and kind of what it all means.
Well, first of all, when that happened last night, I couldn't believe it. It was because it was just so random. And, you know, I think it was kind of funny how it was happening, you know, at the same time that Dwayne Wade is scoring 30 in his last game, and Dirk Nowitzki's, I think he scored 32 last night as well, right? Like something, they both scored a lot of points last night in their last home games, and it was just all this stuff. And then Magic, before the game even starts, goes out and just randomly has a press conference, and it threw the whole NBA Twitter into a like frenzy. And just the press conference was so haphazard. If you didn't know Magic Johnson, you would have thought he took some kind of drugs beforehand, Mike. I'm just saying, he was all over the place. He was laughing, he was crying, he was just kind of a hot mess. And you know, I don't know. There was a pretty good quote that he said, all these guys have been standing here talking to me about next year. And then he just starts like laughing, goes, I'm not going to be here next year. And I'm like, what is this whole thing about? I just thought it was very random. And then the whole circumstance with, he met with Jeannie Buss and Pelinka like for 4 hours yesterday, and this didn't come up at all. So it's very murky circumstances, in my opinion.
Yeah, it seems very strange that he didn't let anybody in the whole entire organization know prior to going out and talking to the media. And again, the way you described it, in a very haphazard way. And, you know, there's a lot of work to be done as an NBA vice president of basketball operations or GM or whatever Magic's official title was. And it seems clear that, you know, Magic was more interested in being Magic than he was in really doing the job of president of basketball operations. And so if you look back at this year and just what a debacle it's been for the Lakers in terms of just the season itself and in terms of the signings that they made last summer in free agency, and it still seems though that there has to be some type of other layer beyond just, he's done, and maybe, you know, he does just want to be Magic and hang out and be friends with everybody and not have to worry about actually running a team, which is kind of how it seems. But you've got to wonder what's going on behind the scenes. Is there some kind of, you know, rift between him and LeBron, between him and the organization? It just seems like very, very odd timing, especially like you said, that he's meeting with, you know, the upper management team, and all of a sudden none of this comes up that he's not going to be there. And then 3 hours later, he's resigning. It was very, very odd. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out over the course of the next couple of weeks, if more details trickle out about his reasoning, or if there was something else beyond just him wanting to get out and not do the job anymore. But, you know, Magic's kind of had this history of, you know, he got out of coaching, I think, 5 games into the one season after he was coaching. And
I'm assuming you listened to Simmons today. Did you listen to Simmons podcast?
I did.
So
I did.
He talks about like they did this whole promo stuff that for NBA Countdown when Simmons was on NBA Countdown, and Magic 10 days before the season was like, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, so they had cut all this work, done all this work. And
right.
And then,
so in that way, it kind of fits the pattern. So maybe there isn't anything nefarious underneath the whole thing, other than Magic's like, hey, I'm done with this, I don't want to do it anymore. And he just decided it and boom, make the announcement. But it still just seems very, very odd. And it adds to the intrigue, the mystery over what the Lakers are going to be next year and who's going to be running them and what happens with Pelinka. I read something tonight that it sounds like, at least the reports initially are, that Pelinka is going to come back, and who knows what's going to happen. It's still a mess.
Like, listen, I put it out there on Twitter, and I hadn't seen anyone else. And if someone else has said it, and I'm sure someone has, I don't know why they aren't backing up the Brinks truck for David Griffin. Like, it doesn't make sense not to do it, in my personal opinion, because LeBron loved him. He didn't want him to get fired. That was the start of the end of the Cavs. I know it was. We still had two more seasons of LeBron, but essentially that was the end. All right. The Kyrie thing could have been salvaged, I think, if Griffin would have been around and everything. So I think if the Lakers are smart, they're backing up the Brinks truck, paying David Griffin. Now, does David Griffin want that job? I don't know. But I think that would be where, if I was the Lakers, that's the move that I make.
So is it the David Griffin, Tyronn Lue double play?
Possible. I mean, it's possible. I mean, they haven't officially fired Luke Walton yet, which I've assumed was going to happen. Right? They haven't fired him yet as of last time I checked.
I think he's still employed, and who knows? Maybe without, you know, Magic being there anymore, maybe Walton comes back. I don't know. I mean, again, nobody has any idea what goes on behind the scenes and how LeBron feels about this whole thing and what direction they want to go with everything that they're trying to accomplish. But I would not be surprised if tomorrow morning Luke Walton is not employed by the Lakers anymore. And I wouldn't be that surprised if they hired Tyronn Lue either. And Griffin would be, you know, of all the guys that are out there currently, you know, he'd be a good choice simply because, A, he's already had the LeBron experience and worked with them. Seemingly they have a good relationship. Whereas you bring in a rookie general manager, you know, who knows if that guy's going to be able to.
Did you see the Simmons tweet? I'm ready for Kobe, GM Kobe.
Yeah, I didn't see the tweet, but I know that they mentioned that today, that, you know, that'll be the next person that they hire. So here's what I would say about that. And obviously Kobe's in no way, shape or form qualified to be an NBA general manager at this point, but I got to believe based on his track record as a player that he would be willing to work pretty hard to try to be good at it. And that doesn't mean he would be.
Do you think he would throw shade and just trade LeBron for peanuts or something? That would be pretty funny.
I did hear some things just reading and looking at Twitter and reading, you know, listening to stuff today that, you know, maybe they should trade LeBron and, you know, get out of that contract now and just build around all the young guys. And, you know, again, I don't know what any of those young guys are. You know,
Ingram being the biggest question mark, because who knows with this blood clot situation, you know?
And Lonzo with his dad. There's just a lot going on. So anyway, the Magic whole thing, it'll be interesting to see in the next couple of weeks how that all plays out. And obviously we don't have the answers, but it just adds to, like I said earlier, it adds to the intrigue of what's going to happen this offseason with the Lakers, LeBron, the whole team, the whole situation. Is Pelinka coming back? Is he not coming back? Are they going to fire Walton? Are they going to get a new coach? There's just a lot of things going on, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays itself out.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we're going to look at the Eastern Conference matchups, and how we're going to do this is we're going to look at the matchups, and then we're going to pick one player from each team that we think is the key player. This doesn't necessarily mean that they're the best player on the team, but they're the player that's going to be the biggest kind of impact, or need to make the biggest impact for the team to be successful in the playoffs. So we're going to start with Milwaukee, Detroit. Mike, who is your player on the Milwaukee Bucks?
All right. So obviously the key player is Giannis, but we're going to try to go. I've tried to go through in my selections for each one of these teams. I've tried to pick the guy who is not the best player, not the main guy. I try to pick a secondary player that I think is going to have to play well if this team is going to reach their potential. So for the Milwaukee Bucks, the guy I picked who's been tremendous all year, probably had the best all-around year of his career, is Eric Bledsoe. And I think what's going to happen for Milwaukee, if they're going to get to the NBA Finals, which is obviously their goal, I think Bledsoe has to continue to maintain the level of play that he's had for most of the season. He's got to be able to knock down threes. He's got to continue to play great defense, which he's been able to do. And he's got to penetrate and be able to set guys up when he becomes that secondary ball handler, when Giannis kicks the ball out and he has to drive. So to me, he's key. You can also look at, I think, Middleton. But for me, I think Bledsoe is the guy.
So for me, I'm going a little outside the box. He's not going to play in the first round. I think Malcolm Brogdon's the key. Is he back? Is he healthy? Is he going to be able to contribute in any way, shape, or form? Because, you know, if we're talking about success for Milwaukee, I think, you know, I'm guessing you and I are going to pick them to destroy Detroit, okay? But it's not that. It's getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and winning the Eastern Conference Finals and having a chance against the Warriors. I think the only chance they have is if Malcolm Brogdon is 75, 85, 90%. Like, I just don't think there's any chance. So that's who I'm going with because he's kind of a unknown quantity of where his health is going to be.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I mean, Brogdon's got to be there if they're going to reach their max ceiling. I think that without him, it puts them in a little bit of a bind, which in this series, I think makes Bledsoe even more important. He's got to play well. He's had a tremendous year. He's been a great two-way force for them. And if he can continue that, then I think I give them a really good chance of making it all the way to the NBA Finals. So in this series between Milwaukee and Detroit, oh, we got to go with our key player for Detroit too. My key guy for Detroit is Andre Drummond. I think Drummond, again, he has limitations. He doesn't shoot the ball very well. He is not a guy that you can have in the game or that you can have doing much in the last 4 minutes because of his atrocious foul shooting. But he also puts up huge rebounding numbers, and he's fit surprisingly well with Blake Griffin, who unfortunately is a little bit injured right now and is kind of struggling. But hopefully Blake will be at least semi-healthy so that he can go up against the Bucks. But I really think that if Drummond can play well and he can give him something and he can make a few free throws and compete on the boards with Milwaukee and make Lopez work on the other end, I think there's a chance that Detroit can try to give Milwaukee a competitive series. If he doesn't, if Drummond is a no-show, I mean, I already think this series, if we're picking it, I'm going to pick Milwaukee 4-0, so I really don't think it matters. But without Drummond, it's definitely a 4-0 sweep. And maybe if Drummond comes through big time, maybe they can steal a game in Detroit and take it to 5.
Yeah, so I'm also going to pick Milwaukee 4-0. But to kind of piggyback off your discussion, like Drummond would be my key player. But I think the other key player is Reggie Jackson. And it's not the kind of key that you think. It's the please don't shoot the ball 25 times in the game. And be more of a distributor. I think he needs to be a more because if you paid attention, I know we were texting with Trevor Huffman, who's obviously a Detroit Pistons fan. We were texting last night. In the first half last night, Reggie Jackson was 5 of 14 in the first half. So obviously he was shooting the ball too much, and he wasn't shooting at a high percentage. So I think he needs to be a distributor, not necessarily force ridiculous shots up. And when I went and looked at some of the highlights from the game, the shot selection was not very good in the first half, and he was a much better distributor in the second half, I feel. So I'm going to pick Reggie Jackson in the senses because he could be a cancer and ruin the team, much like
He needs to be a secondary player as opposed to a lead man, for sure. I think when he slots into the third spot behind Blake Griffin and Drummond, then that team works together much better. When Reggie Jackson is taking the most shots on that team, they're not going to be very successful. They're not going to have a chance in that. I mean, I don't think they have a chance anyway. They're going to get swept.
Yep. So we're both going with Milwaukee sweeping Detroit 4-0. Sorry, Trevor.
That's correct.
So the next series is Boston, Indiana. Boston, the 4 seed, Indiana, the 5 seed. So Boston has the home court. I'll start with my pick for Boston. I think the key player for Boston is going to be, I kind of am between two, but I'm going to say Jason Tatum. I think he's in key. I think him and Jaylen Brown, I feel like Jaylen Brown's really left a lot to be desired throughout the season this year. And I think they need them to step up. You know, Hayward's actually been stepping up lately, and he looks like he's maybe coming around. And obviously, I think Kyrie's the best player on that team as long as he's not cancerous. I don't know if you saw his thing. They asked him about the season today, and there was a lot of nonsense that he said again.
I did not see the quote.
He basically was like,
I can only imagine.
So they asked him what he's learned this season or something, and he said something along the lines of, I've learned that I need to not get caught up in all the stuff, like all the questions that you ask us, and not give in to the questions and blah 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 blah. Basically saying like throwing shade at the media. It was really terrible, and it was god awful. But anyways, so I think Kyrie's the best player on their team. And Hayward has been playing an uptick, but I think my two key players, I'm picking two for this series, is I think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have to show up. I don't know if you saw, but Marcus Smart is going to be out for the first two series.
I did see that. That's a big blow. Yeah, that hurts the Celtics for sure. That definitely hurts them.
Yep. So, but I think it's going to be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, kind of a combo. The two young Bucks, can they do what they're supposed to do?
Okay, so I went a different direction, and instead of going with the young guy, I went with the old KG veteran, Al Horford, because I really think that when Horford plays well, that he makes Boston that much more dangerous. And he's been a little bit up and down this year, and I think that if he can play to what his capabilities are, and he's facilitating the offense, and he's playing great defense, and he's doing some of those little things and those intangibles that he's known for, I think it makes Boston a much better team. And if he's not playing well, I don't think they really have anybody that can step in and replace the things that Horford does well. You replace him with Aaron Baines, and you're not getting the same type of player. Whereas I think with Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, if one of those guys were to get going and the other one wasn't doing well, I think that they could cover for that. I just think Horford's the key. I think when Horford's playing well, Boston can do some damage. Yep. And so it'll be interesting because, you know, Horford's been really good against Embiid, and now they're not going to potentially see Embiid. If they do see him at all, they wouldn't see him till the Eastern Conference Finals. In the second round, they could potentially, you know, have to deal with Giannis and the Bucks. So who knows what that matchup would look like once those two teams get together. Obviously, Milwaukee took them to 7 last year as a low seed. So I think Horford's the key. I think Boston, if Horford plays well, I think they're going to have a much better chance at moving on and beating Indiana. And for Indiana, it was tough looking at their roster and trying to figure out, okay, first of all, obviously we know that Oladipo's out, so everybody at this point is kind of a secondary player. So I started kind of going through the roster and looking at who's the guy that potentially could come through, and I debated back and forth between two, but I ended up deciding on Miles Turner simply because Miles Turner is, I think, the key to their defense and what they do defensively, protecting the interior and being able to switch. And he's really had a great defensive year. I've heard him mentioned as, I don't think he's going to win the defensive player of the year, but that he may end up in the top five in the defensive player of the year voting. So, you know, he's had a really good year. He's taken a step forward. I don't want to say it's a leap because he still has some things to do, especially on the offensive end of the floor. But I think he's a guy who potentially could rise up and, you know, have a great offensive series and continue to have an impact defensively and could make a difference. I think other guys in Indiana, they are what they are. Bogdanovich has had, you know, a fantastic season, but I don't see him all of a sudden going beyond what he's done during the year. Sabonis kind of the same way. So to me, Miles Turner is the guy who, man, if he could have a big series offensively, that would really give him a lift and maybe give him a chance to upset Boston.
Yeah. So I was between Miles Turner and Darren Collison, because I think Collison, right, obviously right now being the point guard, is kind of running the show without Oladipo there. So he's kind of the one, you know, pushing the ball up the floor. And I've heard people mention who's going to be the team that gives him a crazy amount of money this offseason, because I'm pretty sure he's a free agent. But anyways, I don't know. I think Boston's going to win the series. Indiana's going to be, you know, KG, and I think that Boston's going to win it in five. That's what I'm going with, Boston in five. But I think purely because I just don't think Indiana has someone that can counter the Kyrie Irving effect. Like, I just don't think in the grand scheme of things, they have anyone that can counter that on the offensive level. And I think that the supporting the supporting cast around Boston is a lot stronger than the supporting cast around Indiana. And I, you know, you have to say hats off to Indiana, because they could have just tanked the rest of the season. They could have been like felt sorry for themselves, but you know, they believed in each other, and you know, they fought through a lot. And considering the, where they were, and they were in the 3 seed, and they only slipped to the 5 seed, and really, you know, they could have, if a few things went here one way or another, they could have been still in that 3 seed. So you have to give them a lot of props. Like they put up a good fight the rest of the season.
Yeah, they're a scrappy team. I mean, you got to give Nate McMillan some credit as the coach to be able to keep that group together. Because obviously, when Oladipo goes down, you got to think that that was a tough blow mentally and physically for them. That, you know, how are we going to recover from this? Our best guy goes down, and now we got to regroup and figure it out. And they were obviously able to do that because they stayed up into one of those high seeds. I think when that first happened, we kind of thought, boy, they're going to fall all the way down, probably not out of the playoffs, because they had such a cushion over those teams at the very bottom of the, you know, the 7, 8, 9, 10 group.
They still won they still were over the 6 seed by 6 games.
Right. I mean, so, I mean, they had a huge, you know, they had a huge cushion there. So, but still, to be able to stay and maintain and continue to play as well as they have, I think is, you know, says a lot about their character as a team and about the coach. So that being said, I do agree with you on the Kyrie Irving call. I don't think that there's anybody on Indiana who obviously is as dynamic as Kyrie can be, especially in the playoffs. We've seen it here in Cleveland time and time again. I think that the series is going to go 6. I think Indiana's going to get 2 games. I could see Boston, they've just been such a weird team all year, that if things were to go south, that I think there's a chance that that team could implode. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be completely stunned if Indiana were to beat Boston. But I'm going to pick Boston in 6.
I'm going to send this audio to Bill Simmons, so you know.
Good. Send it to him. It's all good.
All right. So the next game would be Philly-Brooklyn. The next series is Philly-Brooklyn. Philly being the 3 seed, Brooklyn being the 6 seed. For Philly, I'm going with, I think, the key player in the Philly series is not Benson, not Joel Embiid. It's Jimmy Butler. And here's why. For the whole playoffs, is Jimmy Butler going to be a cancer? And that's all I have to say. Is he going to be a cancer to the team? Is he going to get arguments? Is he going to, you know, we know that he's going to fight and do lots of like good things on the floor defensively, but is he going to be a cancer to his teammates? Is he going to be a cancer on the offensive end of the floor? That's where I think Philly can rely on Joel Embiid, and Philly can rely on Ben Simmons to do all the great things that they do. But the second that Jimmy Butler gets out there, is he going to ruin everything that they have? Because I think that's ultimately what's going to, like, he's the key in making them a chance to make the finals, I think, is Jimmy Butler.
All right. So my key player for Philly is Ben Simmons. And the reason I chose Simmons is because of what happened to him last year in the playoffs. It looked like heading into that Boston series, like he had really turned a corner and was going to be the guy that was going to drive Philly for the remainder of the playoffs. And Boston ended up kind of walling off all his driving lanes, daring him to shoot, and really made him very, very ineffective. And I think for Philly to reach their maximum potential, that Simmons has to be the guy that is going to do things to the highest potential that he has. And I don't know what that potential is with the lack of a jump shot, but he's got to be able to get in the lane. He's got to be able to make passes. He's got to be a good defensive player. And he has to play like the star that he can / should be. And if they get max Ben Simmons, I think that's going to allow Philly to have a really good chance at getting all the way to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. And with their starting lineup, you know, who knows, depending on what Milwaukee's health is like. And if those two teams were to, you know, eventually get together, I think that, you know, if Simmons is playing at full capacity, I think that makes Philly a lot tougher. So he'd be my guy for Philly. And then for the Nets, I picked Caris LeVert. And I chose Caris LeVert because at the beginning of the season, if we think back before kind of the ascendance of D'Angelo Russell, it kind of seemed like Caris LeVert was taking the reins of the Nets and was going to be the best player. And then he had the unfortunate ankle injury and obviously was able to come back a lot sooner than when we first saw that injury. Looked like it was pretty bad.
It looked like a Gordon Hayward situation, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And it looked like he was going to be done for the year for sure. And then he was able to come back. But since he's been back, he hasn't really quite found his footing. And they've had a little bit of difficulty kind of incorporating him into the offense with Russell kind of taking over and being in charge of things and running the team. So I think if they can get LeVert back to some semblance of the player that he was at the beginning of the year, and if they figure it out how they can incorporate him, and with playing the same opponent four times and playing every other day, getting an opportunity to really scout and put together a game plan, maybe they can figure out a way to get him back to the level that he was playing at before. And if they do, then I think Brooklyn's going to be feisty. I mean, I expect Philly to win that series. I'm going to say five, but again, just like I said with Boston, Indiana, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a much tougher series than maybe some people think.
Yeah, I'm just purely picking Joe Harris because of his dad being on our podcast. That's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to take Joe Harris.
All right. That's fair.
Because I think there are times, and he's going to be so excited about his Virginia Cavaliers winning the national championship. He's going to take that into the first round of the playoffs. And he's just one of these games he's going to go off. I'm just going to say one of the games he's going to go off and hit six threes or seven threes in the game. And they're going to win a game. They're going to win one. I have Philly winning in five. But I think Joe Harris, if he can make, you know, a bunch of three pointers and, you know, make an impact, I think that they can win a few games. But I'm picking Philly in five.
All right. Last series. Orlando, Toronto.
Wait. It's Orlando and LeBronto, I thought.
LeBronto, sorry.
We'll start with Toronto. I think their key player is Kyle Lowry.
Agreed. I'm in 100% agreement with that.
Which Kyle Lowry is going to show up? And we know Kawhi is going to be Kawhi. Okay. Marc Gasol is Marc Gasol. And, you know, I don't know. We really haven't seen much Marc Gasol in the playoffs, so we don't really know how big of a difference he's going to make. You know, the other guy I would consider for is Siakam. How is Siakam going to play in the playoffs? But I think Kyle Lowry is the main piece, that the main component that's going to need to be huge for Toronto if they want to give Milwaukee and, you know, Philly. I think Toronto, really, if you look at it, they got the – you know, they got the easiest first round matchup, I think, because I think Orlando's probably the weakest of the eight teams.
I agree.
But having to play Philly second, you know, that's not really ideal for them. I think they would have much rather had Boston, or they would have much rather had Indiana. I think, you know, the second round matchup's going to be rough for them, I think.
Yeah, second round getting Philly, I think, is tough. That series, I think it's tough for Philly too. I think either of those teams probably would have rather preferred to play the Celtics as opposed to playing each other. That being said, I do think that Lowry's the key. We've said it on the show numerous times. Lowry in the playoffs has kind of been a shrinking violet. He hasn't really shown up the way that he has in the regular season. And if he does show up and plays like regular season Kyle Lowry, I think that definitely raises Toronto's ceiling, and I think that that gives them a legitimate opportunity to make it to the NBA Finals. But I've said it all along. I'm not a believer in Kyle Lowry. I just don't think your track record speaks for itself. It's pretty long that he doesn't come up big in the playoffs, and rather he ends up being a much worse player in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. And so there's nothing at age, whatever he is, 32, 33 years old, that would indicate that he's going to turn that around. So I would be very surprised if he plays up to the level that he plays in the regular season. I would expect more than you're going to get a typical playoff Kyle Lowry performance. And if that's the case, then I think that they're going to probably lose and go out to Philly in the first or in the second round. But I do agree with you. I think Orlando is the weakest team. If I could pick any team to play in that first round, if I was one of the other teams, I would want to play Orlando. Again, Vucevic is their best player, and he's had a great year. But I think of all the other teams, if Vucevic is your best player compared to, you know, even when you look at the Pistons who are below them, and, you know, Blake's their best player, and Blake is far superior to Vucevic as a player. Same thing even with Brooklyn. I think D'Angelo Russell is a better leader, better lead player for your team than Vucevic. So I expect Toronto to win that series pretty easily. I guess I'll give Orlando a home game just because they haven't had a playoff game in a while, and hopefully they have a good crowd and they'll be fired up and motivated. So I'd say Toronto in five for that series.
Yeah, I agree. I think I kind of just want to pick that the key player is Timothy Mozgov, because you probably don't even know that he's on the Orlando Magic. Do you know he's on Orlando?
I did not know he was on the Orlando Magic.
I'm going to pick Timothy Mozgov.
Okay.
I don't even know if he's getting any playing time, but
is he going to make any commercials?
I hope so. Maybe for Sky Zone.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be
but anyway,
I would enjoy those.
But I don't know. I think I like you said, Orlando doesn't really have anyone that's like, oh my gosh. I mean, listen, this is their roster, okay? You've got Aaron Gordon, which I mean, he's pretty solid. I agree. He can be solid. Jonathan Isaac, Jarrell Martin, don't know who that is. Troy Capane, don't know who that is. Mo Bamba, he has a rap song about him. Michael
Mo Bamba's injured. Mo Bamba's injured though. He's not playing.
Oh, is he injured? This is how much I followed the Orlando Magic.
He hasn't played. Well, I had to look at the roster when I went with the key
Sorry,
guy.
Sorry, Kevin Clark.
When I went with the key guy, I was like, I don't know who to. I'm like, I got to look at it. So then I started.
Is there any chance Markelle Fultz plays in the playoffs?
He would be the most fun guy to watch to see if he would play. That would be a lot of fun if he was playing.
DJ Augustine, like seriously, that guy. I didn't even know he was still in the league.
All right, well, who's your key player?
I don't know. Is Dwight Howard out of her? Can he be on Orlando again? I don't know. I guess my key player for that series, in legitimacy, is I'll go with Terrence Ross.
Right.
Can Terrence Ross
can he bang home some threes?
Can he shoot some threes out of control and make them like he did against the Cavs at one time? That's what I'm going with, Terrence Ross.
Okay. Obviously, I'm going with the fact that Vucevic is their number one player, so that meant that freed up Aaron Gordon to be my key player. And I think Gordon is a guy that, you know, he's been very up and down in his career. He obviously has a lot of physical tools. And it'll be interesting to see him in his first playoff experience, what kind of mentality he comes out with and how he performs as a playoff player. So I'm interested in seeing what he does on the playoff stage. And I have no idea what to expect there. I don't expect Orlando to put up much of a fight. Like I said, I think they'll win a game just because they're at home and it's their first playoff series. And I think they haven't been in the playoffs for 8 years or 9 years, something like that. So I will go ahead and say that they are going to lose to the Toronto Raptors by a series score of 4-1.
Yeah, I'm going to say Toronto's going to sweep them.
Okay.
I just don't think. I mean, you've got Kawhi Leonard, you've got Kyle Lowry, which you know, and Mark. I mean, you have three or four players, in my opinion, on Toronto that may be better than Orlando's best player. I mean, Vucevic. Maybe he's better than everyone but two people on that team. I don't see it. I think it's a sweep.
Fair enough. All right, so our second round, I think we are in agreement on the second round. We have the Milwaukee Bucks matching up with the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors matching up with the Philadelphia 76ers, which is kind of what everybody has thought
from
the beginning of the season, that that's what it was going to play out. And then once we get to that second round, then that's where it gets interesting. And that's where I think you can start to get some disagreements among people. And I think they're all interesting teams, especially Philly and Boston, because those two teams, it just feels like you don't really know what it is that they're capable of, both on the upside and on the downside.
I think Boston this year reminds me a lot of the Cavs last year. Like, they didn't play to their potential in the regular season, and they could have played a lot better. And then I'm not saying Boston's getting to the finals. I want to be clear in saying that. I personally think that Boston could, you know, I don't know if they're capable of turning the switch on, but if they were capable of turning the switch on, and I realize Marcus Smart's out for at least the first two rounds, so that's a big blow to them. But I think that Boston, you know, could potentially be the Cavs. I'm not saying that they are, and I'm not going to say they're going to win the series because I don't think they are, but I just think they could potentially be them.
I think all four of those teams have a legitimate right to think that they could be the team to represent the Eastern Conference. You could make a solid basketball case for each one of them if they all played to their potential. And I'm not sure what's going to happen. I've kind of been riding Milwaukee and Giannis since the very beginning of the year. So at this point, heading into the playoffs, I would still pick Milwaukee to come out of the East. But if you told me it was any one of those other three teams, I wouldn't be completely shocked. Let's do one thing here quick before we get out of here, and that is put them in your order of likelihood to make the finals. Start with your least likely team to make the finals and end with your most likely team to make the finals.
Okay, so my least likely team to make the finals is Toronto. My third is going to be Boston. My second is going to be Philly, and then I think Milwaukee's in the finals.
All right, I'm going to flip-flop your three and four. I'm going to say Boston's the least likely, even though I'm not a big Toronto guy. I just think Boston has been such a wackadoo team all year, and now with Marcus Smart out, I just think there's a lot of things going on. I don't see them making it to the finals. I don't see them beating two of those three other good teams to make it to the finals. So I'm going to put Boston at the least likely, followed by Toronto, then Philly, and then I think the favorite still has to be Milwaukee. I just don't know how you deal with Giannis. The year that he's had, he's just been incredible. I think he gets him there.
I guess I was assuming that Boston gets out of the first round, because like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't get out of the first round. But if they were to get out of the, if they're all those four teams get out of the first round, I think they have a better chance than Toronto, because I think Philly's in Toronto's head, and I think Philly will get them. So that's kind of where my head was at. But like you said, I wouldn't be super shocked if Boston lost in the first round to Indiana.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if they lost in the first round to Indiana, and I wouldn't be completely stunned if they made the finals either. So, you know, I think you're splitting hairs with those top four teams. I definitely think Milwaukee's the favorite. I can make a good, solid case for any of those other teams making it if they play the way they're capable of playing. And, yep. You know, that who knows? But we will have to wait and see. All right, well, that wraps up our Eastern Conference preview. The Western Conference games tonight are still finishing up, so we got to determine where Houston, Denver, and Portland are going to finish so we can set those matchups. So we're going to save the Western Conference for most likely tomorrow. So we'll be back then with our Western Conference first round playoff preview. And to everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.